All right, you guys ready? Ready with recording and all that kind of stuff? All right, we'll get started. Just a reminder to the public that meetings are being recorded. Is there any public comment on matters not on the agenda? Seeing none, we'll move on. Is there anything any trustee would like removed from the consent agenda? We're going to approve 2 months, June and July, the financial reports, the warrants, and the synopsis of the June meeting. If there's no objection, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Second.
JJ?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Pete?
Yep. Okay, Walt, sounds like you.
Yep.
Thanks for sending those emails around, Cheryl. That was very helpful to look at in advance.
Cheryl and Brian, mostly Cheryl, I think, done most of the work on this. For the final budget, there haven't been any changes of substance. The largest change, and it wasn't substantial, is we got a fee increase for our accounting services, and that resulted in a $200 a month increase, so $2,400 annual increase to our accounting services. Other than that, we didn't have any changes in expenses from preliminary budget. With regard to revenue, if you look at the tax revenue, pretty substantial jump there. We went from the actual this year. Let's see, we were at about $1,734,000 and change. And this year the projected, and it's likely that the actual will end up being higher. Is $1,812,000. And I guess I should back up a little bit because that includes, the $1,734,000 includes the bond payment. So the revenue this year is a total of $2,033,000, including the bond payment. And the bond payment, the breakdown is $221,490 for the bond payment and $1,812,000 in change for no revenue. Did I correct myself?
That's the property tax revenue, and we do have other revenue that comes
in. Right, exactly, yeah. So that doesn't include, we've got another roughly $200,000 of revenue that I should add to that too. So the total revenue, when we include property tax, the bond, and miscellaneous revenues, we're at $2,234,150. And so if you look across to the previous year, it's a pretty substantial increase from the previous year.
I handed out another revenue sheet for our budget that'll be included on the kit. Yesterday, the county contacted me and they had miscalculated the mills. So we dropped from the packet that I sent out earlier, it's about $1,100 less due to their calculations. So that's an updated sheet that I sent out for you.
A few hundreds in millage or something that they changed it by. So that those numbers, of course, reflect the board approving max mills. And I think the one thing that's to be recognized here, and we've had several discussions in that regard, is what this helps us with in meeting our objectives for capital replacement. We're going to be able to put a little more money away for capital replacement, and hopefully that'll kind of ameliorate some of the deficit concerns we had going a year or two down the road here.
By how much, you think, Walt?
Obviously this kind of starts getting baked in. We see decreases. Not likely that we'll see decreases in our millage. But it's like we'll see increases. But it's hard to say whether 300 and some thousand. What would that be, about
I was just curious about.
Yeah, that's the what we could. What's that, JJ?
Don't do any hard math.
Yeah. Well, what it does is it does provide us. You know, I think we were looking at. We looked at what we did a 3%. What were the increases that we did on revenue?
We went to five.
We went to five. We did a 3, 4, 5 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so this obviously is larger than a 5% increase. And so without doing the calculations, you know, it basically puts us in a position, especially since this is getting baked in early, you know, we have the compounding effect working to our advantage. This increase is baked in early in the process. So that, I haven't done the math to see where that would put us, but obviously it puts us in a more favorable position with regard to meeting our...
We had some red holes there. Right. In 3 to 5 years, something like that.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, technically we're already in the red starting out. We're just not, there's just stuff in the plan we're not addressing because we can't afford it currently. So this is just bringing us closer to meeting the objective of the plan. But it helped, but we're still not in the black.
Yeah, so I guess my advice to the board, and I believe Brian can speak to this too, but my advice to the board is that we pursue the Max Mills resolution in order to better meet those goals. And I think it also, I think a secondary aspect of this is it puts us in a little bit better position with regard to putting some monies away for capital improvement vis-a-vis the potential construction of a new site, a new station at Ray. It puts us in a little bit better position to defray the bonding requirements associated with that project, you know, especially with regard to some of the upfront fees, some of the architectural and design fees and that sort of thing.
Looking for discussion. Questions for Walter, Cheryl, or Brian?
Seems like we're very fortunate to live in the, one of the upsides of living in this community is property taxes are cranking along nicely.
Yeah.
I think one question we hear just, I think it's worthwhile restating this, people sometimes ask, well, why don't you not request Max Mills and give us back a tax cut? And my answer to that, I think it's a sentiment of this board that's just sort of robbing Peter to pay Paul, given that where we are with capital reserves. And if we were to do that, we'd be back looking either for Max Mills in the next budget cycle or a mill levy request to fund capital, rather than doing it the way I think we ought to do it with out of the operating budget and out of this capital replacement, these capital replacement funds.
We'll get to that.
I'm trying to remember the Mills, Max Mills, actually may not translate into an increase in the tax individually.
I think that's right. This is a tricky mill question, but as the value of the mills go up, your prices should go down because per mill you're generating more money, right?
Yeah. Right. See, I don't know if I have that from last year with the...
So our residents are not seeing tax increases every year that the mills go up. In fact, there should be a slight decrease in your tax bill. Hmm. If I understand it correctly.
Got up on my bill every year.
Schools and...
Those are, I think, separate bonds. I just know that my fire stuff has gone up every year. Hmm. You know, maybe $40 or $60, but it went up.
Yeah, and I mean, that also plays into the value, right, of what you're getting, you're taxed. I mean, we're not requesting from the public an increase in what we get. It's just
the county kind of builds in an increase for us when they, you know, update their appraisals of our.
Well, that's where it was based on, was how much our Because when we first started doing this thing, it was, you know, for a $300,000 house, you know, it was whatever number. So now that all of our $300,000 homes in Highland Foothills are all worth $1 million now, you know, maybe that's all.
It's government. Well, anything else you got for this?
I think so. I think, yeah, it's just the changes from preliminary were associated with the increase in property tax, and then that small increase to our professional services.
So if there's no more board discussion, the item before us is approving the final budget. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
JJ?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes. Next item is the max mill levy resolution. Well, I don't know what we need to say about that.
Just basically a follow-up. We if the board chooses to accept the max mill, and obviously the board doesn't have to do that. I mean, it's within the board's purview to modify that. But I guess from my perspective, I would suggest that we pursue, ask for max mills, just given the needs associated with capital replacement, meeting that plan and future capital improvement projects.
Board discussion on max mills. Anybody want to present a motion?
Motion to approve max mills.
Second.
JJ?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes. Okay, capital reserve distribution. This is the fun part, Walt.
Yep. So if you look at the legal sheet that has some of the information with regard to our capital accounts, based on the revenue stream that's in the millage sheet, we end up with a transfer amount to reserves of $405,521.06. And Brian suggested that we kind of put a portion of our funds into capital improvement, building replacement, bring those up kind of to equal amounts. And so that's why if you look at the last part of that table, the transfer amounts, the allocation of $405,521.06 is stated there. So for capital improvement, we're looking at adding about $36,577.38 to bring it to $350,000. And then capital building replacement, $192,685.40. And capital apparatus, $176,258.28. And with their corresponding ending balances to the right. So that, you know, it's, again, that's a starting point that the board can consider. You know, I think Brian made a pretty good argument for, you know, kind of evening those out, but still making a substantial contribution to apparatus. And if you look at the expenditure portion of the budget, it does, the expenditure portion does include total expenditure for capital replacement in this year's plan of a little over $1 million. It's $1,064,249. So that includes, if you look at the list, there's a command vehicle, brush vehicle extrication equipment, portable generators, mobile radios, training burn building, compressor at the race station, compressor at Cottonwood station, blacktop striping and sealing at Cottonwood, AC units at Ray, and then the biggest expenditure obviously is half the cost of the two engines that the board approved the purchase of earlier this year. There's $775,499 being applied to that. And so the 405,000 is left for contribution to our capital reserve accounts after allocating a portion of our budget towards that current year capital expenditure.
Brian, for the public who's not here who might tune in and listen later, do you just want to give a little explanation of why you'd like to sort of try to level out the different capital reserve funds?
It's just an effort to establish some targets to build on each year as we go forward, rather than just trying to guess an amount to throw in, bringing both account balances for improvement and building replacement to $350,000. One kind of funds them for, you know, unforeseen issues that we may need to pull money from. And it kind of just can help us build targets going forward in the future, whether, yeah, we're using that for architectural services to get the new station design going, or doing improvements to Cottonwood Station, or, you know, sourdough existing facilities. It's just to establish a target and then being able to adjust that going forward into the future depending on the fluctuation in those accounts.
Thanks. Board discussion, questions of allocation of approximately $400,000 across the three funds? Anybody want to make a motion to allocate? Well, why don't you make the motion?
Sure.
To get the precise numbers in front of you.
Sure. Motion to approve a capital account transfer allocation of $36,577.38 to capital improvement, $192,685.40 to capital building replacement, $176,258.28 to capital apparatus, for a total of $405,521.06.
Thank you.
Second.
JJ.
Yes.
Walt.
Yes.
Ken.
Yes.
Justin.
Yes.
Pete.
Yes. Nice work, everybody. And the dashboard's looking really good, Cheryl. This is great. Fantastic. Okay, Chief's report.
All right. So we're at 349 calls as of August 1st for the year. Interesting enough, we're still trailing 2021 by just a little bit, but overall, the last 3 years, we're still going up, getting busier. Roster's sitting at 42 members. You know, uniquely, we actually this summer have the first vacancies in the sourdough residency program since we opened the building in 2014. And that was just due to some graduations that some people have moved out. But the fact that there's vacancies are barely temporary because they will be filled up as soon as students get back here. Well, they're already trickling in. We have interest for people to move in, so that will be filled up here fairly quickly. Four residents still living at Cottonwood, and the four residents are still living at the Ray House. Still continuing our non-resident staffing during the day for the ambulance service. Training is unchanged for fire and EMS training every Wednesday and command training. We had five firefighters go through the, it's called Instructor C. It's a class through the Fire Services Training School. And it basically teaches kind of coaching and leadership skills. And it's actually a stepping stone in our promotional process to promote to lieutenant. So we had five folks go through that. I deployed with the DNRC in July from the 20th to the 24th at Black Mountain Fire outside of Missoula. Just went and filled a role as a task force leader, but it was kind of a unique assignment for me, you know, working with the CAT team. We don't go west very often. Mostly we do go, we go east, so it was kind of a good opportunity to work outside of the CAT team and go work with some of my the state partners out to the west and kind of work in their area. We, if you saw the Sweet Pea Parade, we had an engine in the Sweet Pea Parade. Everybody had a good time. Recruitment mode is going full speed. We held a kind of a recruitment event in the Falcon Hollow subdivision over by Ray Station, just in an effort to kind of stir up some potential interest over on the west end of the district. We're also going to be obviously doing Catapalooza, which is obviously our biggest recruitment event. And then the fall Recruit Academy is scheduled to start in September. Ambulance transporting is all up and running. Both ambulances are in service. Billing should be up and going. We should expect to see some revenue income coming from Pintler here. I don't have the exact number for what we've done, but just in the last 2 weeks, we've done 5, if not 6 transports so far. So I think we're going to see kind of beyond what we necessarily predicted as far as numbers of transports. We're also working, you know, we didn't necessarily plan on it, but so far it's working well with transports, that if AMR does come out and it's a basic life support call, of having the conversation with their crews to, for our crew to take that person to the hospital and keep that advanced life support crew available for the entire system. So hopefully next month we'll see our first revenue incomes coming in for transporting. No firefighter injuries in the last month. We just actually got support 6 back. It was at best rate with some chassis motor problems, and thankfully it was just some wiring issues they were able to straighten out and got that apparatus back in service.
I saw the piece, I think I sent it around to you guys at Bozeman, charging for just, that's the way the world's going, right?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it's driven by a couple of things, is just the amount, even that the city's doing it anymore. I mean, they have been doing it for free for a long time. Mm-hmm. And the amount that that it's costing them, I think they finally made the decision that it really doesn't make sense to not try to collect for that.
And any more sort of intel or thoughts on how AMR is doing countywide? Changing their status, you think? Or?
They've kind of leveled out a little bit. Their staffing seems to be a little more kind of stable as far as having the needed ambulances available. It's tough for AMR, I think, in a way that, you know, their moneymaker is interfacility transports. So, you know, they want to take those transports and be able to collect that income. And the only unfortunate thing for the emergency services end of that is it takes their units off the street. And that's where it puts more pressure on the agencies having ambulances to fill those gaps. So it's always hard to predict with them. You know what? They were able to do a big hiring because they offered a 2-year commit with a big signing bonus, but you know, like they've done that before, and after their 2-year commitment comes up, they're all of a sudden in the staffing crisis again. So it's a band-aid.
Yeah. Questions for the chief?
How often, and I didn't even look, are we going out of district because we're out of AMBOs?
It's decreased with AMRs stabilizing a little bit. From where it was, where we were doing it, I don't know, 3 to 4 times a month, I think we're down to maybe 1 or 2 a month now.
Anything else for the chief? Trustee activities. Announcements? Next board meeting.
Summer will be almost over.
That's the 6th, right?
Sorry?
The 6th of September we're talking about?
A little bit early for me.
The 20th?
20th?
Oh, I'm sorry. The 20th. How's that look for everybody?
It's fine. It's fine.
I won't be here. Didn't look good for me. But that doesn't matter. You guys can carry on without me.
Dad says I won't be here too.
You won't be here either?
I don't know. I don't, gotta figure out who this guy is. I have an appointment with. It's a doctor.
I could do the week before on the 13th.
Yeah, I should be here the 13th.
You guys want to do that?
I may not be back, but if there's a quorum, that's fine.
JJ?
I'm good.
You're good?
I'm good.
Justin?
Yeah, it works good to me.
13? Okay, we'll do 13. Meeting is adjourned.